Welcome to Games We Grew Up With, a podcast that relies on nostalgia and a geeky sensibility. Each episode, we'll talk about one of the video games that left an impression on us as kids, put on some rose-tinted glasses, sometimes, and reminisce about it, then replay the game and see how it's held up over the years. This episode, we'll be remaking one of our past hits and talking about Super Mario RPG for the Switch. I'm Katie.
I'm Chris.
We just had a Coca-Cola, so let's talk Mario.
Yahoo! There's no... Mario doesn't make noises.
Boing! He said boing. Yahoo is a good one. It's-a-me! GWGW!
Mario turned into a silent protagonist.
In this game, yeah, he is a notable silent protagonist because he's a mime. Yeah, he mimes everything in this game, which is hilarious. So much so that I believe... Oh, no, it wasn't. Okay, I was going to say, was that what we did for our trope in episode 5? That's when we covered the original, back in episode 5.
Episode 5. I couldn't believe it when I went back to figure out when we listened to this. It was like 5. Like, that was so many years ago.
And we did boy, it so were we, early.
We were bad at podcasting then.
So, as we covered this game back in episode 5, we are covering the remake in this episode, if that wasn't apparent enough. And so, this is a non-Rose episode because we didn't play this game as kids. And to be fair, because it's been almost 4 years now since we played the original, again, God. We could probably have done a Rose beforehand, but we didn't, because we just wanted to play the game. So, here we go. Also, happy Mario Day for when this episode's coming out.
Yay, Mario Day! There's a happy, happy coincidence. And by that I mean I've been putting off playing this, and by that I mean producer Lisa would not let me play this until I finished playing Pokemon. Because you played this way before I did.
We played this when it came out.
Yes, and I was not allowed to play this until I did my homework for other episodes. So this remake came out in November 2023 for the Switch and developed by Arte Piazza,
I assume,
and developed in Unity. That I saw that, and that's wild that it was built in the Unity engine. So like they completely, it's not like they reskinned it, they rebuilt the game with assuming the source code from the original. And you see that in a lot of Crash Bandicoot did that, right, where they completely rebuilt the game.
That's been the popular way to remake games recently, is not just to reskin them, but make them from the ground up in a newer engine. And I think it's, so far, most of the games that they've done that for, if all the ones I've played, they've greatly benefited from it.
Yeah. No, it's a way that they, like, you know, it shows that they actually care about it. Mm-hmm. And if they could get the source, essentially, they could, because you had to for an RPG, right? Like, it's not like you could just, I mean, there are people that have back engineered this whole thing, but I'm assuming they got the source from Nintendo. So,
and
it's really cool that they could just rebuild this whole thing. Unlike, because I think Crash, I think, was rebuilt essentially from like first principles.
The thing with Crash was they built it using the engine from Crash 3, and they built 1, 2, and rebuilt 3 using the same engine, or not like same mechanics essentially. So actually some of the jumps were slightly off for 1 and 2 because they were based on stuff from 3.
Because I know there are definitely games that they've remade that like the source code, original source code was lost. So they just had to rebuild them from, But this was so cool. And the critical response was good. 84% critical score, 8.1 user rating. I said that, and that's actually kind of surprising that it's that low.
I think the reviews that I was reading, mostly it's a classic that they remade. They're so happy. Lots of nostalgia. Lots of new things that they added. I think some people wanted more newness, and then other people hated they added newness. it's like a no-win situation.
So it's warring fashions between... people are the worst.
And I think turn-based combat is not popular anymore, unfortunately, because I love turn-based combat, but it's not a wildly popular. And so I think that also some people just don't love it. But I think... Yeah, just it was a good reviews, but they weren't great reviews.
Yeah, which is surprising.
Yeah, I actually expected higher scores, so I was a bit shocked by that, because I'd read reviews and they'd be like glowing reviews and they'd be like 84. And maybe it's that people expect better things from a Switch game and almost put it in a Switch game category versus a remake category. I'm not really sure, but that's their opinions.
Yeah, and we could get into that later, obviously.
Yeah, so not a lot of fun facts around this one. It came out recently. I just wanted to point out the speed run for the original game at an any percentage win was 2 hours, 46 minutes, and 13 seconds, set 2 years ago. For the remake, there's two different categories of turbo and no turbo. No turbo is clearly the version that everyone plays because there's only like 5 people in the turbo category. In the no turbo category, the speedrun was 2 hours and 30 minutes and 48 seconds, so 15 minutes faster than the original. But that record was set 5 days ago, so clearly still people running it, which is fun.
People are playing it. I took significantly longer than that, which
that
is shocking
right.
for anyone that has listened to this podcast and knows how
right.
I play RPGs.
So let's get into kind of more of the meat of the game. Specifically, we're not going to go into the plot because it's the same plot as the original.
It's the same plot. Yeah.
It's the same plot as the original.
Smithy stars Gino.
Yeah.
Things.
Mini bosses fight.
Mini
win.
Bosses. Yeah. Yeah. Same plot. Exactly the same plot.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I want to talk about is the differences, the updates, the differences that they made for this game from the original. I think just as a blanket starter, and I could say this because I'm on the other coast, it was a lot of, a lot of the changes they made were for quality of life reasons. And
I hate you.
And yes, you're right. They were absolutely quality of life
updates. Yeah. So that's like the big ones. Like they have difficulty levels and auto saves and fast travel on the map. Like those are things they added that are just there. There was no reason to add it other than modern games now have that kind of stuff and it makes it easier. So that's great.
Yeah.
When we're talking about auto saves and changing difficulty is just nice. It just makes it easier for a lot of people that if it's too hard, they can go in easy mode. If you want a bigger challenge, there's a hard mode. That's just kind of nice. Auto saves are really interesting because there are save points still in the game and they're in the original save points from the original game. Mm-hmm. But they now auto saves like every time you move panels, basically.
Yeah.
And it's quite convenient, so you never really lose any progress you make. And they also mention it, and there's a lot of fourth wall breaking at the beginning of the game when they're talking about it.
Yeah, I think Toad said, it's like, you could still use the old save points, but you don't need to anymore.
Yeah.
Which is even funnier because with the Switch and the fact that you can, like, essentially suspend the game, it also, like... That's another like pseudo save.
Yeah.
Like you could stop wherever you want. But yeah, those save points where every single time you change screens.
But I still saved every time I went to a save point.
Oh no. I obsessively still use the save blocks because that's how I played the game originally.
Yeah. Fast travel, that was once you get to the map, you didn't have to go from world to world to world. You could actually, like walking, you could actually just hop around, which was quite convenient when you had to go check in. When, like, you found a new song to give to Todoski, you could just jump straight to the frog pond as opposed to going from pipe to pipe to pipe or whatever. So that was convenient.
Yeah. And even within certain areas, you could jump to certain places. So like Land's End, you could go beginning, Bellum's Temple, or somewhere else. So
you could choose basically the save points. They use the save points as your like fast travel spots. So
which was super interesting.
Yeah.
After you had gone through them at least once.
Yes. You had to have gone through and saved at those locations. And certain ones were locked until you beat a certain area. Like you couldn't go back into the sewers until you beat Bellamy once. Like There were certain locks, but once it opened up, it was open for you to fast travel to, which was quite convenient.
Bellum.
Oh, I forgot.
That's a throwback right there. Bellamy.
Could be below me. Another big difference they added that kind of falls in that same category, they added a storage unit. So you can, like, if you pick up an item and you have already full inventory, it goes to your storage back at your house. So you don't lose items, which is nice.
Your house, which has been renamed Mario House instead of Pipe House,
which is just rude. And we'll get,
which
there
is
were
weird.
A lot of, there were yeah. a lot of renames that they made. Some of them made sense. Yeah. Some of them didn't make sense. Yeah, so another thing they've changed that was kind of like, you know, making things easier on the player is their item storage, basically, in general. You had a storage unit back in your house, which is now Mario's house instead of Pipe House, because they changed the name for reasons. But you could basically get too many of an item, and instead of losing it like you did in the previous game where you just couldn't, it would just like you'd open a chest and it would go away. It went to your storage unit, which was really nice, so you could go back and pick it up. The other thing that they changed about the items is they were stackable in your inventory, so you could hold more items in your on-person inventory than before. The bigger problem with that was that they limited how many of each item. Like, you couldn't choose the number of each item, and so some of them were limited to weird quantities.
This was a big note for me. So mushrooms, you could hold 10 of each. Mm-hmm. Mushroom, mid mushroom, max mushroom. Pick me ups, your phoenix downs, your yep. revival items.
You
would have six.
Six is such a
six.
Weird number.
So in the original playthrough, half my inventory
was
pick me ups.
Yeah.
And like the big items, so your rock candies, your Coca-Colas, mm-hmm. you could have like three.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was definitely a double-edged sword there, where it's like, this is great that I don't lose them, but I can't necessarily customize the balance of items that I have. Yeah, because like end game, I didn't use any of the mushrooms. I would have much rather used the Coca-Colas, the pick-me-ups.
I agree. So it definitely was a balance, but they did that to try to... I think that was their way of trying to not give it too much power of what you carried, but it wasn't perfect, but I get it. Another thing they added was missable items were no longer missable. They basically made it so you could go back in games, which is nice. One of the very small things, but very helpful things they added was during Super Jump for Mario, you can go up to 100 different jumps. And in fact, that's like the limit is 100, but there's also a like prize if you get to 100 jumps. 30 and then 100, I think, are the two levels if you go to Monster Town and they're like, hey, you did it. There's a counter that appears on screen to tell you what jump number you're on. And it seems so small, but since considering you had to get to 30 and 100, having to count them by yourself in the original game meant you normally miscounted.
I don't know if I actually noticed that.
Yeah.
I legitimately did not use Super Jump, like, at all.
That's why you didn't notice it.
Yeah. I mean, the way the game is built, there are certain enemies that are vulnerable to that, but there's much better use for your FP. Again, we don't have to explain. Go listen to episode 5. We did an okay job of describing the game, but...
But that, I think that leads us into the timed hits, which is such a crucial point of the original game.
And were some of the first time hits that we, like...
I think it's the first time hits we ever really dealt
with. Yeah, no, because that was the thing where I kept trying to do time hits in Final Fantasy VII.
Yes.
And that's not a thing. So...
So they have... Of course, timed hits are still in the new version of the game, but... They have added things to it. So, for example, there's help now to teach you when each weapon has... When are you supposed to hit the time hit? You don't have to just guess and kind of hope for it. Like in the other game, in the original game, in this, a little exclamation point would appear above the character's head when it was time to press the button for the first, like, 5 or 6 times you do it. And then it'll stop showing up once you get the rhythm of it. If you screw it up enough times... It comes back and it's like, hey, dum-dum, this is where you're supposed to be pressing.
Which is helpful because there were times where I just couldn't get the timing down. A couple of Mallow's weapons, I just could not get the perfect timing down.
I struggled with Geno.
Oh, Geno was really hard. So, like, the arm cannon I could do really well, but, like, half of his stuff I couldn't. Even some of Mario's stuff... Just the timing to do it perfectly because also what they added was, and I think this was in the original game, it just wasn't as transparent. You do more damage based on if you have better timing.
I don't know if it was in the original game.
I think it was. And I think it just...
What I know, so also know they added with the timing in the new game, this is added, is if you time it well, you can hit multiple enemies with a timed
perfect
attack.
If you hit it perfectly, it becomes an AoE attack.
Which that wasn't in the original game.
No, absolutely not. And I figured, the first time I saw that, I was like, what's happening? Oh my God, this is amazing. Yeah. And then it became like an obsession where it's like, why aren't I hitting the perfect all the time? Also, it would give you those hints for special attacks, which was kind of like, they didn't really talk about that in the original game, that you could also use time attacks for specials and for defense, which they sort of talked to.
No, you're right. It is all, it's all, and it gives you hints in all of this. Not so much on defense.
Yeah.
On this one, they don't do the exclamation point. I don't remember. I don't think
no,
so.
No, it definitely does. No, oh, it does. It does.
It just stopped appearing because I got good at it.
And there's different levels. If you get it perfect, it's zero damage.
Which is so nice.
Which is nice, but I also hate that. That's one of my almost least favorite parts of the new Mario RPG, like the Paper Mario, Mini Mario. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, if you don't do that perfectly, then you can't beat the game. It's like, no, that's not fair.
This one wasn't quite that bad.
It was nice for that in this game. But then they had the chain combo thing.
Yes.
Which, again, goes to the obsessive. So the way that the chain combo mechanic was, if you hit the timed attacks in the correct place, you would get 1, 2, 3.
Timed anything, because timed defense counted to that as well.
Defense, special. And if you got, like, I think it was, like, 3, 5, and 10, you would get bonuses. So it's, you would build up more damage, more defense, more triple gauge, which we haven't even talked about yet.
That was one of the, I think, the biggest notable additions was adding the triple attack.
Yeah. It annoyed me so much when I missed the defensive timed that would break my combo. Like, and again, that obsessive part of me where it's just like, why? Because every enemy had a different timing, right? So you would have to figure that out. And I mean, I say that as someone who doesn't obsessively grind. Like, I literally, there were multiple times where not even grind XP, I would grind to figure out the correct timing whenever I got a new weapon or I got a new set of enemies.
Yeah, that's
so
tracks.
I could make sure that I could get that timing correct. But talk about triple attacks.
Yeah, so the triple attacks were something new. So if you built up enough of that combo power, you basically were able to use a triple attack for the three members on the field. They changed depending on who was in the party. So there were different attacks. Some were attacks, some were defensive. It varied on whoever was on the party. And so you could do basically a massive attack when you built this up. So that was super helpful in especially boss fights, because this wouldn't build up in one fight a lot of times unless it's a longer fight. It would stay on from battle to battle, but so you'd often save it for the big battles, you'd save it for big situations, or it would build up again in those big situations. So it gave you another ability to have a big AoE attack or defense. Mm-hmm. But the other nice thing is it changed depending on what your party members were, and that's another feature they added, is you could swap party members mid-battle.
You could hot swap mid-battle. That was mind-blowing. So, like, if you wanted to change that attack, and it wouldn't even cost you a turn.
No.
Unless it's Mario, obviously. Mario had to stay in the party.
Yes.
But you could swap a party member for no penalty.
I believe Mario had to stay in the party unless he died. I believe he gets swapped out if he died?
No.
No? Okay.
No, he just stayed dead. Yeah, okay. Because if you died, it would swap in.
It would auto-swap a lot of times.
Yes.
Being able to swap out if you wanted a certain triple attack was really helpful. Or even if, hey, Peach is the only one who has revive, I need to bring her in to revive someone. You were able to do that mid-battle, which was, it gave strategy a lot more flexibility, which is really, really nice.
Yeah. Or if you're late game and you know that there's about to be a devastating attack,
yep,
get her out of there.
You could swap her out of the game.
Yeah.
Another one I know that Chris took advantage of, another change I know Chris took advantage of, is they got rid of the coin limit. So previously you had the max of 999 coins. Chris decided to go well over that number.
Well, yeah, because I didn't even farm this game. Like,
I saw you sit at that coin box forever.
Oh, no, that's because I spent... No, because it wasn't a max. It's because I spent a bunch of coins because I lost them in...
Yeah, but you still had like 5,000 coins still. You did not need more coins.
But I wasted coins going through the previous area, and there's free coins.
Didn't need them.
My RPG brain is not... normal.
What's funny about your RPG brain being not normal in that way, I struggled when I found out that they added a monster journal in the new game, and the only add to it was with Thought Peak, previously known as Psychopath, from Mallow. So he was able to see the weakness of the enemy and able to see how much HP they have. So it's the assess, it's your, you know, standard kind of check. But in there's now a journal where if you don't perfect Thought Peak,
yes,
don't record.
It records the weaknesses, but not their quote.
Not their thought.
Their thought. Yes. And that drove me crazy. But there is a place.
A
guy in Land's End or somewhere around there. Not Land's End.
You can buy it with frog coins.
You
can
buy it with frog coins, which they give you way more frog coins in this game because
they are
a
renewable resource in this game.
I know. That is one thing that was insane in the last game where there's only so many frog coins. In this one, you fight special, just randomly you can get special enemies, quote unquote.
That are stronger and have more HP, and they would give you a frog coin if you beat them. So producer Kyle farmed the heck out of frog coins after we beat the game so that he could buy the rest of the journal because he knew it was driving me nuts because for certain enemies you couldn't really go back easily, and so he bought the rest because he was driving me crazy.
Oh, yeah, especially like bosses.
Yeah.
Bosses and not my final form bosses.
Yes.
Like, it's, and especially when Mallow doesn't become a good party member anymore.
Right.
It's like
I literally would switch him into Thought Peak and then switch him back out.
Once I found out that that was a thing, that actually was enough in my brain where I was like, so I can do it.
Yeah.
So I don't need to.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, yeah. So that's another change added. And that's nice to have like the record of everything. It just, my brain was like, need it all.
The weaknesses was nice. Even if some of the weaknesses were like status effects, not elemental effects.
But
and
I
it's just like
that was available in the original game. I just never used it. It just was like a waste at the time. Because you had Psychopath, which was what the same move.
No, Psychopath just gave you the HP.
Was it just the HP for Psychopath?
Yeah, I think it was just the HP.
Fair enough.
Like,
but that's kind of another one of the other big changes we noticed, and we've alluded to it multiple times already now. Psychopath now becoming Thought Peak. They changed a lot of names. Some of them make no sense why.
I mean, yeah. I don't... Like, Pipe House to Mario House. All right, make it Mario House so that's more...
It's Pipe House. There were pipes everywhere.
I know. There was...
But I mean, like, one that makes sense is they changed Princess Toadstool to Princess Peach, because in modern nomenclature, she's Princess Peach. So I get that one. But, like, they changed Frog Fuchsius to the Frog Sage. Why?
Yeah, Frog Fuchsius was such a fun name. They changed Yardovich to Speardovich.
Speardovich.
like...
Because he's a spear.
Assuming,
but still.
Yeah, but and it's one of those like, why was he called Yardovich originally? Maybe that's a loss in translation thing. They changed the Caracaracola
to Croca-Cola.
To Croca-Cola, which is we talked about in episode 5. Like that's it's frog cola, so
yeah.
I could kind of see that. There was a lot. There is like I was trying to before this episode I was trying to track down all of the name changes. There's a lot that they changed.
Yeah. Like, so producer Kyle just sent me the note. Yari in Japanese is spear. So they decided to un-Japanese it and made it Spear of Dvitch.
I mean, okay, cool. But when you grow up with Yardievich.
Yeah. One of the other names they changed was Mac, which is the giant sword that lands in Bowser's castle. He's no longer Mac. He's Clay Morton. Like a Claymore.
I don't know if I actually noticed that. Yeah.
Clay Morton. It's like producer Kyle named him. I hate it.
It's a good name.
No, it's not.
It's a good name. Because he's a Claymore.
Yes, but his name was Mac.
I'm with producer Kyle on this one.
I will say, the number of angry comments that appeared on Reddit for why they changed Frog Fuchsius is hilarious to me. People are like, Frog Fuchsius? Why?
Frog Fuchsius is such a great name.
It is.
Like, Frog Sage just sounds boring and dumb and easy.
Some of the other name changes. Magikoopa turns into Wizakoopa, which makes no sense because Magikoopa is like a standard Koopa name. So to change that to Wizakoopa is weird. But Todofsky is still Todofsky.
Well, yeah. I mean, how dare you if you change that? I didn't even touch the Todofsky stuff in the remake.
I was so much easier this game, too. I don't know. Oh, because I think
was it? I didn't even go near it because
the button presses he gives were you easier. What the,
he gives you the card so you can get the Coca-Colas, but since you could only hold like three of each, it's just and you got them organically so much. I literally did not even bother.
We did it because it was there. I made producer Kyle do it, to be fair, because I was like, I don't want to worry about the timings of this. You do this. So I did make him do it, but he did. He said it was much easier in this version. There were a lot of name changes, and some of them I guess make sense, but in general it's just like it felt unnecessary a lot of the times. Like some of them, Princess Peach being Peach instead of Toadstool, fine, you call her Peach and everything. Now call her Peach. Some of them just Coca-Cola, okay, fine. It was just like we would be playing and be like, that's not what they were called before. Like there was just that moment of like that seems wrong.
It's interesting because the Yardievich, mm-hmm. Spiritovich one was the one that jumped out to me. Mm-hmm. That and the Coca-Cola is just like, what? Why? Like, as you said, what's the point?
Yeah.
But, it wasn't that distracting. It was just...
No, it wasn't distracting.
Head scratching. Yeah.
I think the other big thing they added in the remake, I'm sure there are other changes that we might be missing. I tried to list as many of the big ones that I knew of as possible. But one of the other big ones is there was more post-game stuff now. You actually got a clear save file when you beat the game, and you'd go back in, and it's right before the final boss, just like a standard kind of game like this. But you could then go back and replay the bosses at a tougher level. Yep. There was more, like, there were some items that were exclusive to those tougher bosses.
They were above the end game weapons that you would get in Bowser / Smithy's Castle. Like, there were...
Yeah.
There was a handful. It wasn't, I don't think, for everyone.
It wasn't for everyone. But even then, some of those final boss weapons weren't even the best compared to some of the other ones you could get in the original game. Because, like, the Lazy Shell was, like, the best. And it wasn't Mario's, in theory, final weapon, but it was, like, definitely the best weapon.
Oh, yeah. And Peach's...
Frying pan
was
the best.
Which
is my favorite weapon of all time.
Oh, yeah. Well, and when you have to buy it, it's just strange metal.
Yes.
But, yeah, that's the most satisfying sound.
Just oh, yeah.
Whang!
And the timed attack is perfect for it.
Oh, yeah.
So they add a play report so you can go see how long you've taken, how many items have you found, how many hidden items are you missing, that kind of thing. So those are all available post-game. That's nice that they add a lot of content to the game than they did previously. So, you know, you have to appreciate some of that.
They added the item that just shows you the hidden boxes. I don't think that was in the original, right?
So that was an interesting change. So you got that item really late in the game. You got the signal ring really late in the game because you got it in the cloud world.
Mm-hmm.
And the signal ring would go boop when you entered a room that had a hidden chest.
No, you got the signal ring pretty early. You got that from Croco. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. In the original game, you got it much later. They changed it in the remake that you get it way earlier in the remake, and they replaced where it was with the echo signal ring, which showed you where the item was.
Got you. Yep, yep. Didn't realize that.
Yeah, it would vibrate the controller as well, so you got closer.
Yeah, I absolutely kept the signal ring equipped, even if I probably shouldn't have, because again, find hidden things.
Yeah, I mean, it just, that's what you, I would have that equipped as well. So like those little changes, that's kind of nice that they added those. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I got the not as good signal ring. I think I only got the echo one because I probably missed it, knowing me. But they added a bunch of stuff and game content, which is nice.
No, I mean, the second tier of bosses, because let's see, which ones? It was
Jinx, Bellum, the Square Enix one.
Well, yeah.
Culex.
Because there was an order you had to do them in.
Mm.
So, like, you had to talk to Frog Fuchsius, and he was like, Bellum's still hungry, so you got to go back to Bellum, and then you have to talk to Frog Fuchsius again. So it was like... Yeah, it was like Bellum.
I don't remember the order. It's been so long.
Yeah, I know, because you had to fight Johnny again.
Yeah, because he wanted you to be fair. He alludes to that in the game. Yeah. He's like, come back and fight me again sometime.
One of my favorite bosses, because he's just like, I just want to fight because I can.
If I remember correctly...
I'm a shark pirate.
But he's not a shark.
Isn't he?
He's someone in a shark suit.
What?
He has eyes in his mouth. Look up the photo.
What?
Hold on. Did you not know this? This is from the original game.
Tappa, 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 Mario RPG.
Look up Johnny.
Johnny. Jonathan Jones. Oh my God. What? Oh my God, it's a dude in a shark suit. What?
In the remake was the first time I had a good look at what, oh God, what is her name? Valentina looks like. I don't think I realized, like, in the original game that it was, I knew there was something like a hat on her head in the original game. I don't think I realized it was a bird that was just hanging out on her head.
No, I didn't either. Yeah. Yeah. And I think I talked about this in episode 5, but it's much more clear in the Geno's sprite, which is not a sprite because it's a 3D model.
Yeah.
That's not a mustache, that's a twirly thing on his hat.
Yes. I think we talked about it in episode 5, and I said, I never thought it was a mustache. What is wrong with you?
well, listen back to that episode and this episode, and clearly a lot.
Yes. One thing they didn't change is if you go into Princess's bedroom, she still has the question mark of, well, you can't look at that. Because yes, I still checked that.
You found her question mark.
Yeah. The other change that they did in this game was the music. There was a newly arranged music for the remake by the original composer, but you could actually go into the menu and switch it and just listen to the original music.
Yeah. I thought the new music was good, except the map music sounded different enough where I, like, the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, I guess this is a remake of the original music, but... Yeah. Everything else sounded great. I mean, it didn't sound bad, but...
We've talked a lot already about all the changes and stuff, and we've alluded to what we've liked and, like, we didn't like, but let's get into actually, like, how it felt playing the game. It felt good. It was so good. The nostalgia hit real hard when playing this game again.
It reminded me how much I absolutely loved the original.
Yeah. It was so good feeling back, having the timed attacks again, and the satisfaction you get when you hit the timed attacks right was nice. I really liked the addition of the exclamation points because I didn't always get them right. So it was like, oh, that's where that's supposed to be. That's really nice. Mm-hmm. The improvements they made did make the game so much smoother to play.
It really did. And there were times where the graphics were much better. I won't say much better. The graphics were improved. Mm-hmm. The music was updated, but, like, my brain wasn't even going there. In my brain, I'm still playing that old game.
Yeah, like, I agree.
It's one of the best remakes that I think I've played in a very, very long time.
Yeah, it felt like the original while having significant improvements where it mattered, and that was what was really nice. It didn't feel like the Final Fantasy VII remake that's not really the full game or anything like that, it was a great game, but it wasn't like playing the original. This game, it was playing the original, and yet it felt better. And that was what was really nice about it, was that it felt good to play it again. It felt like, for this one, I don't need to go back to the original anymore to replay it to get that kind of nostalgia. This can satisfy it in the way that other times remakes, you're like, I still want to go back and play the original every once in a while.
No, this is, with the items thing was a little weird, but they did such a good job.
They did.
Of adding stuff and keeping the spirit of the original game the same. I loved it. Like, I couldn't put it down.
And it was so good having Geno and Mallow come back, because it's just been so long in the universe that those two have just been stuck in the abyss of multiple ownership. That it was so nice that, like, you could see them come back and you're like, oh, I love you guys. Like, is Geno. And so the new generation of people got to meet Geno, you know, like, and that's kind of cool.
It's weird to feel nostalgia for a game that we played 4 years ago, but
yeah.
It was nostalgia to the replay.
They apparently changed Geno's real name in the remake I'm looking at now. Not really. It was heart emoji.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Music note emoji, exclamation point, question mark. In the remake, they just added spaces. So it was spaced out. It's the same symbols. They just added spaces. But it's specifically on the Super Mario Wiki. It specifically says... or this in the remake. It's the same thing,
that's
guys.
Funny. And they added cutscenes here and there. Going back to the triple attacks, I think my favorite, just for the cutscene alone, is, like, it's Mallow, Mario, Bowser, where they all go up in his clown car flying thing. And they just start throwing stuff. Like,
oh, I love the fireballs, triple attack. For the triple attack.
Yeah, for the triple attack.
I loved the triple attack animations. They had all little mini stories, which I loved.
Yeah.
And you could skip them, but I did watch them.
And
quite
you
often.
Could skip them, which was great too.
I mean, this game, again, I loved Bowser in this game so much. Him being the party, him fighting. I loved at the end. I don't think they had this in the original. In the ending credits, they showed Bowser rebuilding his castle with his, like, minions in this, and it was so cute. He's like literally plastering his like castle together again, and I was like, I love everything about this.
It was great. So we talked about this is worth noting, because this was like the end game of end games. The end game kind of in the original was Culex, the Final Fantasy throwback. And in this one, when you could do all the bosses again, you could go fight Culex again, which actually required another... So the first one, you needed a shiny stone to unlock it. And the second one, you needed another shiny stone, which I think you got from Johnny Jones.
Sure.
So you... Yeah. But... So he was even stronger in the second one.
Yeah.
Which is super interesting, because again, the level cap in this game... pretty low.
It's
30.
Like 30. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I hit the level cap before I fought Smitty the first time.
Yeah.
It's worth noting, I didn't grind in this game at all, for the most part.
Yeah, but it's very easy to hit that level cap by playing through the game. So, Culex, in the original game, talks about how, because even in the original game, they're 3D characters. We're in a 3D world. Yeah. And so he talks about how they're in an extra dimension, and he's flat. He looks like he's from the Final Fantasies from, like, that era of, like, 6. Like, he looks like he's from Final Fantasy 6, essentially. In the remake, if you play him a second time, he's no longer flat. He's 3D. And that's so cool.
He was
so
like,
cool.
I've come back. I've come back the second time, and I'm 3D now. Let's fight.
Let's do it. He's so strong, he gained a dimension.
That fight was super interesting.
Yeah.
And when you beat him, you literally knock the third dimension out of him.
Yes. I'm very impressed that you beat him, because we didn't bother. That's the one I didn't bother on. I was like, nope.
It was so interesting, because initially he does his one AoE attack that brings everyone down to one HP. If, in my case, really in anyone's, if Toad's speed isn't high enough, one of the crystals will also follow that up with another AoE attack. and kill you instantly.
Peach's speed? You just said Toad.
Toadstool.
Yeah,
Peach.
Toadstool, yes, but like not Toad.
Yeah, well, yes. Yes, they are different people. Toad is my cat. So if Peach's speed isn't fast enough, you could lose in literally the first turn. And that's what happened with me when I was trying to mess around with different configurations of equipment and party stuff. Yeah. I would either lose in the first round or I would go like 20 minutes in and then lose because I did something wrong. Because he had that attack that takes you down to one regardless, unless you're not at full health. Because if you're not at full health, you die.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. What kind of I mean, it's a super clever attack.
Yeah, well, I think he does damage of like, and some of his attacks are like auto kills because they do damage of like 999 HP. And it's like, you can't get that much health. That is impossible.
Yes, that was later in that fight. Once you kill a couple of the crystals, because the first time you fight Culex, you could just go straight at his face and ignore the crystals. You have to fight the crystals in the second time around. But at some point, he switches to essentially an instant kill attack that's not an instant kill attack.
Yeah.
Because if it was an instant kill attack, there are accessories that would save you from that.
Yeah.
That almost made it easier because he's not doing an AoE attack anymore.
Yeah.
So I would just save my pick-me-ups for Peach when she got hit by that, because at that point, Peach had the group hug.
Yeah. The other thing you found out right at the end of the game is that Geno, Peach, and Mario's triple attack was a shield, and that actually blocked it. I remember you used that right near the end of the fight. You're like, oh, this could have blocked
it. It was just like, wait, I could use this. I don't know why I wasn't thinking about that, where it's just like, it's good for you deflect one attack, and that's great for that.
That's all you need sometimes.
It was, I don't remember. It's on Twitch. It's a great, I think it's a great, captivating video of me fighting.
Absolutely.
But wanted to throw that in there because I honestly thought that was actually a very fun, frustrating, rewarding fight that was easy enough. It took me a couple hours. It didn't take me like 12 hours.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Oh, it was good. I genuinely, like, the game was so fun. I had some fun. I wasn't going to do that Culex fight the second time because I was like, I don't want to do it. I think producer Kyle ended up doing it, but I was like, nope, not for me. But I still loved the game. I still had a ton of fun with it. I think it's time for scores. So, Chris, what do you give the remake, a Super Mario RPG? Do you want to know what your previous score was for the original game or not is the question.
Not yet. I'm going to give it a 9.8. Out of 10.
Okay. You're the worst.
Yeah, I know. 9.81. Mm-hmm. 5.
157.
The only thing I didn't like about the added stuff was the limits on item types.
Yeah.
Specifically things like pick-me-ups or the rock candies.
That's fair.
Or stuff like that, because that was slightly frustrating. Still better than having only 20 items or whatever, mm-hmm. but 20 items before you had to go back to Pipe House.
Yeah.
But it was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? Sorry, I've run out of the platitudes. What is your score?
I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. I really enjoyed playing it. I thought it was so smooth. It was so fun. It hit all the right nostalgia notes. Like I said, it can replace playing the original game for me, which I think is the really telling thing of like, I think it's great when a remake makes you want to replay the original. I think it's amazing that this game is like, I don't need to go back to the original now. This can satisfy anything I want from it. So I really, really enjoyed it. 9 out of 10. We both gave it 8s on the original. So
this is, wow. That's when we were trying to be like level and like,
we're not going
to
let nostalgia influence us.
Yeah, we're not going to. No. This was just a fantastic. This is what happens when I've literally played nothing but retro games for the last, since we started the podcast, because I don't have time to do anything else.
Yeah.
So it's just all, it's fine. No, it's built well. I would say it's built well. The timed attacks are built well. The defending stuff is annoying when you break your combo, but it's not like the newer RPGs, Mario RPGs where you can't win if you don't master that.
It doesn't end your game by not mastering that.
Yeah.
No, it's a great game. If you haven't had a chance to go play it and you've played the original and love it, go play it. If you've never played the original, it's a good replacement for the original. Go play it. It's a ton of fun.
Absolutely.
Love playing it. Happy Mario Day, everyone. We wanted to give you guys a special episode for Mario Day this year. Next game coming up, we already announced if you listen to our regularly scheduled podcast, but the next game coming up is Super Mario World because we're going with Mario in the month of March. So let's go.
Yay! And you can see us playing this on Twitch at GWGW Show. That's also where you could find us on social media.
Yep.
Instagram, Facebook. So
YouTube.
We post videos every once in a while.
I need to be better about that.
Katie does a bang up job of editing stuff together.
So thank you as always for everyone for listening. We always love hearing from you. So the best way to interact with us really is through Twitch or any of our social media. So feel free to reach out. We love hearing from you. Thank you to our producers who keep us in line and prevent us from rambling too much, which doesn't always happen, but they do their best. So with all that said, say goodbye, Chris.
Goodbye, Chris.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you. Also, I'd like to say that Massive Attack is the name of an indie band that I used to listen to back in college.